B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Wednesday, May 22nd, 2019, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas, 101.5 FM and 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, Senator Josh Hawley sat down with Kotaku for an interview about his pending loot box legislation. We'll go over some of the specifics. Plus, on this week's social media question, we ask you what cheat code you've never been able to forget. We'll read your responses and share some of our own ahead in about 15 minutes here on Checkpoint XP Daily. Last month, the world of Dungeons & Dragons was set into a frenzy as the cast of Critical Role, a Dungeons & Dragons live stream featuring famous voice actors, announced a Kickstarter to turn their stories into an animated series. The Kickstarter smashed records, raising over $10 million. Joining us today on behalf of the dice-rolling sensation that is Critical Role, you may know him best as Phoenix Wright or not the brave, Sam Riegel. Welcome to Checkpoint XP.
It's great to be here, and this is an exciting time for all of us at Critical Role.
So let's start with a congratulations to you and the Critical Role team for the monumental success that was your Kickstarter. So how does it feel having that much fan support backing what was just kind of once a couple of friends getting together to roll some dice?
It's taken a while for all of this to sink in for us. Like you said, we just started as a bunch of friends playing D&D together, and honestly, that's all the show really still is. We are still a bunch of best friends who meet once a week to play this game together and to be silly together. And the fact that that has turned into this thing that people have just come out in droves to support and be part of and prop up and given us this great opportunity, it boggles the mind. All of us are still sort of shocked by the fan response to the Kickstarter, raising over $11.3 million when we only were trying to raise $750,000, is beyond comprehension, and we're thrilled. We're thrilled because it shows that, you know, what we're doing is obviously like resonating with people, that tabletop role playing in general is having a moment, and that we get to be part of that moment. That the stories that we're telling and the characters that we've created are making a difference to people, and people like what we're doing. But we're also thrilled that we get to make this animated series now that has really been our dream since we started doing this, was to turn these characters and this world into an animated series. And now we get to do it, and it's still surprising to us, but we're up to the task, and I feel like we're going to do a really great job.
Oh, well, you know, speaking to the origins of Critical Role, like how did it even come to be to go from, you know, just a group of amazing voice actors on the game table to Twitch fame when it takes me 2 months of scheduling just to get normal people to meet up at the same time?
it was hard, especially at the beginning. I mean, the whole thing started when one of our cast members, Liam O'Brien, wanted to have a geeky birthday party and invited us all over to Matt Mercer's house to just roll some dice and goof off. And instantly we were all hooked. Some of us, me included, had never even played Dungeons & Dragons before.
Oh, but you're a natural.
Well, hardly. I'm still figuring out how to play a rogue. But as actors and as voice performers, I think it was something that was unusual and exciting for us, because not only did we get to create our characters and help tell the story, we got to use funny voices, we got to hang out with our friends, we got to, you know, enjoy the chaos and the peril of almost being killed on a regular basis, and also the thrill of victory and adventure. It was kind of everything that we had all been wanting to do in our lives: play characters with friends and get to do voices and also create something together. It was amazing. Then for the Twitch show, that was a whole different ballgame. I mean, putting cameras on us and microphones on us, like we're performers, so we were used to that aspect of it, but taking a game of just friends goofing off and cursing with each other and broadcasting it to thousands and thousands of people took a lot of getting used to. And I personally still say things all the time on the show that I regret saying in front of an audience. And I dread the day that when my kids are old enough to go on YouTube and find some of the old episodes of Critical Role and see what Dad said, and I'm going to be ridiculed by them. And
I personally,
my wildest imagination.
I personally think something like Fluffernutter would actually probably really resonate with them.
Yeah.
Well, if they're like, sure. If they're anything like kids, they're not going to care what their dad does or did. They're just going to be interested in whatever, I don't know, whatever the new Minecraft is of you know, the future. But you're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're sitting down with Sam Riegel from Critical Role.
Speaking of the amazing cast that you guys have at Critical Role, like, how do you make it all work? Like, scheduling the play sessions, and I'm sure you guys all have, you know, voice acting gigs and other gigs that you have. Like, how difficult is it to get everybody together, you know, before it reached, you know, the heights that it is now?
Well, especially early on, it was really hard. I was one of the worst offenders. I was always late to games because I was coming from voiceover sessions, or sometimes I direct cartoons, the voices for cartoons, and so I would finish up a cartoon directing session and just jump in the car and drive as fast as I could to get to the broadcast on time. And, you know, sometimes we would just miss shows or have to Skype in, which is really, it's a lot harder to do. It kind of ruins the, you know, the camaraderie of the table. But somehow we made it work. Now it seems to have sunk in with everybody, like all of our friends, all of our families, all of the people that we work for. Everybody knows what happens on Thursday nights now. And so, our agents all know, like, you know, don't schedule work for these guys on Thursday late afternoon because they can't do it. So now it's way easier. But especially at the beginning, balancing work and play was, real hard, especially justifying it, you know, to the wife or to the spouse. Like, you're going to do what again? but now they're all into it, and all of the spouses and friends and family are super supportive, especially mine. So it's great.
So you guys have quite a few guest appearances by other voice actors or celebrities. And before I ask this question, it is okay to have a favorite. We all do. Who's been your favorite guest on Critical Role so far?
Oh, how could I possibly choose a favorite?
Well, we all do.
No, we've had, you're right, we have had some amazing guests. I'm trying to go through my mental Rolodex of the folks who have stood out. You know, the ones that stand out to me are ones who have created characters that are unusual, characters that I haven't seen in other, you know, Dungeons & Dragons games or just in movies and TV. Darren DePaul is a great voice actor. He created a character that was very, very weird and unlike anything I've ever seen before. Deborah Ann Wall came on lately and created just the cutest little character named Twiggy that you've ever seen. Those are probably my favorites. We also have some guests coming up that I'm going to be the worst and say that I can't tell you who it is, who they are. But we have a couple guests coming up that I'm really excited about seeing what they bring to the table.
To that end, I would say, is there someone that you haven't had on yet that you would just love to have on?
Oh my God, so many. I mean, we always talk about wanting Lin-Manuel to come on and play a bard.
That would be awesome.
Great.
But I heard that Drew Barrymore is a Dungeons & Dragons
geek.
Yeah, I would love to play with her. I've heard that Stephen Colbert is a big nerd.
That I believe it. Yeah. I believe that totally.
It would be great to have some nerdy time with him because he's so whip smart too. You know, it would be great to just bounce ideas off of him.
Oh yeah, totally.
And you know, it's also fun to see people who you don't expect to be a geek, like Joe Manganiello, who's, you know, a real big jockey guy with huge muscles and handsome jawline and all that stuff. And he's just as geeky as we are. It's really, it's refreshing to see people like embracing their inner nerd and just falling into a character and being part of just a real cool, weird tabletop gaming experience.
You know, to that end, so D&D has gone from, you know, once being linked to witchcraft back in the 80s to now being at the top of New York Times bestsellers list. What do you think it is about D&D and other tabletop games that has allowed the scene to explode the way that it has?
Well, I think we talked about this a lot over at Critical Role Land, and something that Matt Mercer always points to is the style of storytelling when you're around a table with people face to face is so ancient and primal, and it harkens back to caveman days when people would just sit around campfires and sort of swap stories, or going on fishing trips with your dad and just kind of telling stories on a boat or around a campfire or something like that. And I think that really resonates with people right now, especially in this digital age where everybody's on their phone or their iPad or Twitter or whatever, and it's very impersonal. And I think just that experience of being with people and playing and telling stories with people is something that is that people are rediscovering, and it's deeply ingrained in all of us. And it's great to see that it's coming to the forefront again. Also, I think it doesn't hurt that people get to watch shows like ours and all the other amazing tabletop shows out there on platforms like Twitch and YouTube, because it's really hard to get into a game when all you have is a rule book. Mm-hmm. But if you can watch someone play that game, it changes everything. You know, if you looked at the rule book for the National Football League, you wouldn't want to go play football. But if you watch a game, then heck yeah, you want to play. So I think that really helps too.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. Joining us now is Sam Riegel of Critical Role.
Now, you and the crew over at Critical Role have taken this way beyond pen and paper. Where did the inspiration for the animated aspect of the show come from, and why did you guys decide to crowdfund it?
Well, we are voice actors, so we've all worked in video games and animation for years. So we all have this picture in our mind when we're describing our characters or delivering a line of dialogue in the show. You know, I can close my eyes and I can see what it looks like in my imagination. And I think all of us sort of, when we look at our imagination to look at these characters, they always kind of seemed animated to us. I don't know why, but it's probably just because we're around cartoons so much. So this was always something that we were thinking about, taking these stories and translating them to animation. Also because there's magic and monsters and amazing, fantastical creatures and moments, I think it would be way harder to make it into a live-action series. So we knew that if we were going to translate this to another medium, it would be a cartoon. And we went out to pitch it to, you know, the normal places that you pitch cartoon series to, TV channels and streaming services and that sort of thing. And everybody just kind of shrugged and said, yeah, no thanks, because it's a hard sell. You know, the show is about a fantasy world. It's about a lot of different characters. It's about blood and monsters and adult themes. And so, you know, the Disney Channel doesn't want to put that up on their channel, and I don't blame them for it. So, but we still wanted to really make it, and we knew that we had the support of the critters, our fans out there. And so we thought, you know what, if the critters want this, they will show us. They will come, and they will make it known that they want us to do this. And so we thought we'd just put it up online and see if they wanted to support this. And it turns out, boy, oh boy, did they want to support this.
Well, and originally you guys were looking at just doing a short special, but obviously, thanks to the outpouring of support from the fans, you're doing the series now. And it's maybe still a bit early, but you don't think a single season's really going to sate them, do you? I mean, do you see this going further than just this first series?
Oh, my gosh. You know, I don't know anymore, man. every time we set a goal for this community and for this show, the fans just surpass it. So, you know, yeah, we thought we'd make maybe one, maybe two episodes, three if we're lucky, and now we're going to get to make 10. So you're probably right. There's no way we're just going to make 10. It'll probably just keep going forever. I don't know anymore. It's just so hard to predict what these fans are going to make happen. To that end, you know, they've really, the support for this Kickstarter and the support for this animated series has really opened the eyes of a lot of different big name Hollywood, you know, entities. The same companies that passed on our show a year ago have started calling again and are saying, hey, want to come back and take another meeting over here? So who knows? We might end up at one of those places that said no to us a year ago.
Well, we can only hope that it ends up keeping going. The animated series is just the latest in a long line of projects that you guys have brought to life at Critical Role. What else can fans look forward to in the coming months from you guys? Anything that you can, you know, kind of give us a glimpse into?
Sure. We have our second series of comic books coming out through Dark Horse.
Ooh, nice.
Vox Machina Origins Round 2 is coming out. I forget what day or month that's coming out, but this summer I think Vox Machina Origins, the second series, is coming out. We have a bunch of original shows on our Twitch and YouTube channels, twitch.tv/Critical Role. And some new shows are going to be announced, as well as some returning favorites pretty soon. And we have some live shows. I don't know all the dates offhand, but if fans want to go to critroll.com, they can find where we're going to be. Maybe even in your neck of the woods, we're going to be doing some traveling later this year. We're going to go to Denver for a big convention there, and then we have we're going to be at Gen Con in Indianapolis, and some other live events that we're going to announce soon. So there's a good chance we might be coming to a city near you.
Well, we've got some big affiliates in those cities, so you can find out more about Critical Role by visiting them at twitch.tv/Critical Role and over at critroll.com. Sam Riegel, voice of Not the Brave on Critical Role, has been our guest here on Checkpoint XP. Sam, thank you so much for your time today, man.
Oh, thanks. This was a pleasure.
Thanks again to Sam for his time. For an archive of all of our interviews, make sure you visit our website over at checkpointxp.com. Listen, we want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll welcome in Voice of the People, Sarah Skopic, to share your responses to this week's social media question. This week, we asked you what cheat code you'll never be able to forget. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, Kotaku had an interview with Senator Josh Hawley about his upcoming loot box legislation. We'll check it out ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the sports beat of East Texas, 104.3 in Carthage, 103.9 in Marshall, and 100.7 in Henderson, as well as 1250 and 94.5 ESPN San Antonio. Check out our website over at CheckpointXP.com, and while you're there, make sure you sign up for the Checkpoint XP Nation newsletter. Get behind-the-scenes insight, photos, and access to contests and unique content. All it takes is an email address and a zip code. So sign up today at Checkpoint XP.com. Entertainment.com. Last week, the video game industry was rocked when Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri announced his intention to bring new legislation to the floor of the Senate. His legislation would take aim at loot boxes and pay-to-win microtransactions. This week, Kotaku writer Jason Schreier sat down with Senator Hawley to ask him about it, so let's talk about some of the highlights of this conversation.
Yeah, so, I mean, right away, Jason starts the conversation off asking him, you know, are you a gamer? And he freely admits that he's not. Mm-hmm. He has two kids who are 4 and 6, so they're kind of on the cusp of beginning to game, but they're not quite there yet.
Yeah, they would just be developing, like, an interest in it.
Exactly.
So, yeah. That's right.
So when asked about why the focus on loot boxes and pay-to-win mechanics, he brings up their addictive nature and the psychological tricks that game developers employ to make them more appealing, which is something that we have talked about at length, because when you talk about how loot boxes work in many games, the psychological practices put in there, it's literally the same as slot machines.
Well, and that's doubly sort of reemphasized in certain games and certain titles in which the loot box mechanic of the game is so intrinsically tied to actual progression that many naysayers of loot boxes have said that only exacerbates those predatory those sort of psychological mm-hmm. tricks.
And the thing is that, yeah, he's not wrong in the least here, right?
No. I freely admit that during a Overwatch, like the anniversary event that just started, I have the Pokemon fever. I have to collect all those skins.
Well, listen, it's like, and I'll even use League of Legends for this. Like, if the process of opening a box in League of Legends was just you click a button and a screen pops up and shows you what you got out of it, it'd be far less exciting than the key forming on the screen, flying into the box, and then the box shatters.
That's true. And here's the difference. We're all adults. We understand. Mm-hmm. We understand that it's preying upon those mechanics.
The endorphin trigger.
And exactly. And we also can kind of regulate our purchasing a little bit more than someone, you know, a child who has no regulation on that mm-hmm. valve, right? Like, I think that especially when it's aimed towards kids, it is inherently predatory.
Yeah, I can definitely regulate that loot box thing.
Well, you can at least understand when you're maybe making a questionable decision.
100% should not have spent that money opening those boxes anyway.
Exactly. You do it and then you're like, oh, man, I don't know about that.
Yeah, here's the thing is that, yeah, Robbie, you suffer the consequence of that.
That's fair.
Because now you have to eat
less. Less. No, just I have to eat less.
Fair enough. You don't eat terribly well even when you have money. Uh-huh. So, yeah, that's fair.
So he also asked if they've been in contact with the ESA. Senator Hawley confirms that they have. His policy advisor spoke up and elaborated that while they've been as transparent as possible, there's definitely been a difference of opinions between them and the ESA.
Oh, well,
and beyond that, Senator Hawley says that is being a very diplomatic. That's a very diplomatic way of putting it.
And of course, because listen, the ESA had every opportunity to get out in front of this. If they were, you know, kind of philosophically aligned, then I think that we would have seen a much different decision out of bodies like the ESRB.
Well, this is billions of dollars on the line, regardless.
Exactly. This is intrinsic to the profit model of so many games, even popular games that are out there right now. The ESA definitely is looking at this as a confrontational sort of relationship, because that's a lot of money, Robbie, as you said. It's about to be left off the table if this goes.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Left off the table completely.
So Jason specifically mentions EA and the amount of money that they make with FIFA. Senator Hawley replied, quote, "And FIFA would indeed be covered by this legislation, to be clear. They've certainly expressed their, shall we say, concern over this legislation, but I think that's probably a good indication that we're getting somewhere."
He is not wrong.
Indication that you're taking away their money, of course they're going to be upset.
Here's the thing, he's not wrong. As someone who plays FIFA, I've been objectively priced out of Ultimate Team. I don't want to spend money to play a mode of the game. I don't want to do. It's built in. It's not a tack on. It's not an add on. It's not a standalone.
No, it's a mode of the game.
I have to spend the $60 to even get there. And you know, yeah, I totally understand again why EA is very confrontational about this.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on KNBR in San Francisco and the Big 920 in Milwaukee. We're currently talking about the interview that Kotaku has done with Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri, and some very interesting points of view coming to light from this interview, I would say.
Yep. He was pressed about the skepticism that this bill could get anywhere, because there's many in the gaming industry who said it's dead on arrival, it can't work. He replied, quote, "I think if they thought it were a publicity stunt, they wouldn't be so concerned. I think the reaction of the corporate lobbyists sort of strongly suggests that they're very worried about this.
Well, and
I think it probably also suggests that they know this practice is not going to stand up to public scrutiny."
Well, also, specifically with this particular bill, like, it's aimed at protecting children. Name me one person who wouldn't get behind that.
And that's sort of the political sort of gamesmanship in it. By phrasing
all
the bill, by
this,
you know, and focusing on protecting children, it becomes a lot more difficult for somebody on the other side of the aisle to deny it, because who doesn't want to protect children?
Right.
Well, and to that point, he was also asked about the typical Republican philosophy of self-accountability. Senator Hawley says that it's a lot like how they wouldn't allow casinos to market to children. Children, in their view, are uniquely vulnerable to predatory behaviors like this. And so, as we, you know, we move through this interview, you know, I can't help but agree with a lot of what gets said.
Listen, it's hard to rebut all of the points in there. And listen, I understand where, you know, the ESA is kind of coming from, but I also kind of think that their objectivity in this arena has kind of been tipped by the how much money has been made through this practice. And I think that, you know, Hawley is right on one thing. I don't think it's going to stand up to public scrutiny. I think if you really peeled back the layers of this for the average consumer, most people would go, ah, wait, hang on. And the thing is that average parents on almost a daily basis are having to navigate these waters more and more, because more and more apps, more and more games mm-hmm. are marketing their purchases this way.
Well, yeah. And that's another thing that the senator says too, is that, you know, as more information about what we're trying to do with this legislation comes out, as this information of some of these predatory practices becomes more front and center to parents and they understand what's going on, they're going to speak up. And I don't think he's wrong in that. I think once this starts really getting into the mainstream and this kind of narrative gets in front of everybody, it's going to be tough to kind of stand against this.
Yeah. We have Omega Watal in our chat over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp who said these are pay to buy games.
That's true. A lot of them very much are. That's the entire transaction model that they survive on. And, you know, gamers have been asking whether or not that's fair or whether or not that's legit for the better part of half a decade now, as they've become more and more popular. And you know, now it's at the mainstream, and now they've lost control of the narrative. The video game industry has entirely lost control of the narrative. But listen, we want to hear from you. Do you think that this is going to be a huge problem? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, we ask our social media followers what cheat code they'll never be able to forget. Like, what is burned into your memory? Well, welcome in Voice of the People, Sarah Skopic, to read your answers and give some of our own ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the sports beat of East Texas, 104.3 in Carthage, 103.9 in Marshall, and 100.7 in Henderson, as well as 1250 and 94.5 ESPN San Antonio. If you're in the Boston area this weekend, make sure you stop by the Celtics Gaming Tournament and watch party for the NBA 2K League. The event will be held on Friday, May 24th from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. at the Champion Store at 333 Newberry Street. You must be 18 or older to enter. You can also follow us over at Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram, so that you can respond to our weekly social media question. This week we asked which cheat code you'll never be able to forget.
You know what? And before you continue, I got one of the first ones, and not the one everybody's thinking of. Flat out, Mortal Kombat on Sega Genesis, ABACABB. Flat out, I need to see the blood.
Oh, the blood code.
I need to see the blood.
You were not letting anyone take that away from you.
No. Mine was actually Mortal Kombat code too. So when you said MK, I'm like, oh no, he's about to take it. But it was for MK2. And I can't remember exactly what it was, but this is the one that I used the most. It was holding down L2. Then it was like up, right, left, down, R2 square, or something like that, to unlock like all the characters and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
What combat were you playing that had shoulder buttons?
That had L2.
Right.
MK3 Trilogy? That had a
PlayStation?
It was on PlayStation, yeah.
So, yeah, it probably could have been MK2.
It was.
I was about to, hop over this desk.
MK2, I don't think, was ever on PlayStation.
I wore my official cheat shirt today. That's IDDQD, which is God mode in Doom.
In Doom?
Yeah. Can I tell you, like, I love this shirt. I think this shirt is really cool. Like, I love the idea of, like, having one of the little eye demons as, like, you know, like, it looks like a metal cover, right?
It looks like a metal t-shirt.
People see that and they think, like, what band is IDDQD?
And that's what I want them to think. But there was one time when we were giving a tour, of, like, the studios and the office space,
sure,
to a bunch of, like, I think they were, like, young college students or, like maybe graduating high school students.
I remember,
students. One of the kids looked at the shirt and goes, I read about that in a book. And I was oh my God.
Nate. You old man.
I am old. I'm that literally.
Settle down, old man.
Sucked the life out of me and maybe into him. I don't know. Maybe he took that. That was when I got lame. He took all of my coolness and it absorbed into him.
Because the things you like are now historical.
Yeah, dude, we learned today that kids going to college were born in 2001.
We didn't learn that. We just talked about it.
Crushing.
We didn't learn it.
By the way, Norris, MK2 was released on the PlayStation in 96.
Interesting.
Fair, Joe,
did you share?
No, so I've got to go with StarCraft because Blizzard was known for some great cheat codes.
Yes.
I mean, you've got Power Overwhelming for invincibility, Operation CWAL, can't wait any longer for reduced build times to zero.
Yep.
How about modify the phase variants? That was an interesting code. And of course, there is no cow level.
You're right.
Which was to instantly skip that mission.
Yes. It's a good one.
Yes. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on the Hawk 1340 in Wenatchee, Washington, as well as the Fan 97.1 in Columbus, Ohio. We're currently going through our social media question. We ask you guys which cheat code you'll never be able to forget. We'll get to your responses in just a second, but before we do, got to kick it over to Voice of the People, Sarah Skopic. What cheat code can you never forget?
Okay, let's see. I had to like really think deeply in my brain. You have to pause, left, right, L2, R2 square. It doesn't do anything like great, but it makes Spyro paper thin, and it's really amusing.
I'm glad.
Stick mode Spyro.
Yeah, it was like 2D mode. Like if you go to the side, he's normal because he's like 2D. But then like
it turns him into 2D
back,
Spyro.
It's just like a
Sarah. And you were afraid that one of us was going to take that from you.
Come on now. Like, for real.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, I don't think you had to worry about that one.
No, I don't think so.
Big head mode.
Had I known, I absolutely would have taken that from you.
Oh, that gets me to thinking about, like, some of those GoldenEye cheats to get, like, DK mode and paintball mode.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you had to earn those.
You had to unlock those cheats.
All right, let's take a look at what our social media audience was saying over on social media.
Well, someone did have to say it. It's the obvious from Don over on Facebook, the Konami code, up, up, down, down, left, right, BA, start.
I mean, it's a classic. It's so famous, it makes it into games that are not Konami games.
Yeah, I mean, it not only was it in almost every Konami game, now it's in just most
games
in some way.
Just games.
It's true.
I wonder if that works on the pachinko machines.
Oh, we should check.
Oh, that hurts.
That hurts.
That's personal. Why you got to go there,
Robbie?
But
you know what, Robbie?
Outstanding.
No, he does not deserve an outstanding
for that.
No, take back that outstanding.
We have Brandon, who says full health armor and 250 grand from GTA San Andreas on PlayStation.
Yep.
Yeah.
R2, L1, X, left, down, right, up, left, down, right, up. Pattern so imprinted in my brain, I could go years without playing that game.
Yep.
I still remember.
It's just circles.
Hold on. Joe in North, maybe you guys can tell me, because I remember seeing this on social media. There's a basketball player who has the infinite ammo code on his shooting arm from one of the GTA games.
No way.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like circle, circle,
yes.
circle. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's Vice City's infinite ammo and like all the weapons, and like there's one to like unlock. No, the circle one is to get a tank, I think.
It's Devontae Green. He played he was playing for Indiana at
the time.
When
I saw that, like, on
still
his shooting arm,
Indiana,
like,
yeah.
man,
like,
yeah.
that's a really man. Good tattoo right
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, honestly, like, when I went back and played you know, some of the earlier Grand Theft Auto games, like, as soon as you look that code back up and you start doing it, it's
muscle memory.
Total muscle memory. It's crazy.
We have Chris, who says 007-373-5963 Mike Tyson NES. I input that code so many times I could never forget it, because I could not, and 30-ish years later, haven't beat him.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah.
Wow.
You know, that's
right,
one that we had a lot of people respond. Like, I assume that's the Game Genie code.
Probably.
Based on the numbers. Oh, okay. That's fair. That's one I did. I did not play Mike Tyson.
Over on Twitter, we have Shizio that says up, down, left, right, left, right. Unlimited health on Lord of the Rings. Return the key on the OG Xbox.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Interesting. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure that's been a code for other things as well,
because
it sounds really familiar. Like maybe on a Sonic game, there might be an AB select start in there somewhere.
Yep.
But interesting that they use that on Return of the King of all things.
Yeah, also.
Over on Instagram, we have Gregor Dan that says greed is good and who's your daddy from Frozen Throne.
Oh, whoa. Warcraft. Yep, those are really good.
Yeah. Nice Wall Street reference there,
yeah.
Gordon Gekko.
This is straight up like making me have, like, 'cause now I'm thinking like The Sims, Rosebud in The Sims to get 1,000 simoleons. Yeah,
maybe I'm just not as much of a cheater as you guys. Because
you know what? I'm starting to remember. I cheated
not,
a lot more than I remember.
This
as a
is
kid.
Not jogging a whole lot of memories. There was there was Grand Theft Auto and Doom for me.
Over on Facebook, we have Lazlo that says Motherload, 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 Motherload.
Yep, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh!
All right, one more.
Over on Facebook, we have Jillian that says Barrel, so Barral from Donkey Kong Country.
Oh yeah, 50 lives on Donkey Kong Country. That's right.
All right.
Okay, fair enough.
There we go. We're going to have to leave the discussion right there, but make sure you follow us over on social media so that you can make your voice heard on next week's social media question. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as our growing collection of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. I want to thank my crew, lead segment producing by Joe Sloan, producing and booking help from Christine Solis. Big thanks to Sarah Skopik over at the Checkpoint News Desk, and of course my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's A. Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.